Cultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The U.S. Dairy Export Council is stepping up its opposition to the inclusion of the European Union's system of geographical indicators in a potential EU-U.S. trade deal. However, during the stakeholders' meeting this week on the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, farmers on the other side of the Atlantic not only defended Europe's GIs, but also once again insisted that GIs must be included in a deal in order for it to get done. The U.S. organization is proposing that Europe adopt compound names for its protected cheeses as a compromise position. Thus, names like Brie, Munster, and Feta would be considered generic and thus unprotected, but European farmers are not buying into that suggestion. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 464,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2014-15 marketing year. Also flying out the door this morning is optional origin sales of 116,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 14-15 marketing year. An option origin contract provides that the origin of the commodity may be the U.S. or one or more other exporting countries. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,961. It's up 20. The NASDAQ 38.95, up almost 20, and the S&P 500 is 19.59, and it is up 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's forecast still continues to look highly favorable for the majority of the U.S. Midwest. I really can't find a problem right this minute, but I think we'll watch the southwestern part of the Corn Belt rather closely over the next 2 weeks. That's the one area that seems to be disfavored for rain the longest and will also be closest to the fire, so to speak. In other words, it'll be closest to the core of the warmest weather on a regular basis, and that's not unusual. But we are going to be watching Kansas, parts of Nebraska, portions of Missouri, and southern Illinois, as well as western portions of Kentucky, over this next full week to 2 weeks, just simply because of the fact that they don't get much rain over this period of time, and that they will be seeing temperatures certainly seasonably warm at times, with readings often in the 80s and 90s, lower to occasionally a middle 90-degree reading. The exception will be in areas from the heart of Texas, northward to South Dakota, where there will be upper 90s and temperature extremes over 100, but that's obviously outside of the key Corn Belt production region. Most of the Midwest will likely see warmer temperatures. Yesterday, of course, it was still quite chilly across a big part of the U.S. Central and Northern Plains and portions of the Midwest, where we saw temperatures work their way up into the upper 60s and 70s across a big part of the region. It was the second day in a row of such conditions, although the eastern and central portions of the Midwest did manage to get into the 70s and lower 80s. The heat is coming back to the Midwest, and some are giving it a little bit more credibility than they should be. The forecast is for the warmer weather to return. We'll see seasonable temperatures this weekend with a lot of 80s and a few lower 90s beginning to emerge. The warmest weather will be near and west of the Missouri River, and in those areas we'll see temperatures getting into the middle and upper 90s, and again we'll see those temperatures over 100 in random locations from South Dakota down to Texas as we get into the late weekend and the early part of next week. The heart of the U.S. Midwest, however, will probably see its warmest weather occurring from Tuesday into Thursday of next week. At that time, we'll see the afternoon temperatures in the upper 80s through the lower and a few middle 90s. But it's only a brief 2 to 3 day period of that kind of warmth. We'll turn right around and see cooler air come back across the region at the end of next week and into the following weekend. The seesaw in temperatures across the Midwest will be beneficial for crops, and we are obviously not going to see any prolonged period of hot weather, and so the corn crop will go ahead and finish out reproduction in a very favorable environment. Subsoil moisture will be conserved. Evaporation rates across the region will be only moderately strong for a few days at a time, and we'll likely see some scattered showers that will help support the pollination process. We will expect, though, those southwestern Corn Belt areas to dry down, and they need to be closely monitored as we go deeper into the month, but it's my stand that we are going to be seeing some kind of drier biased environment in the southwest, and some yield stress and lower yield actually may occur in that region, but I don't think we're necessarily going to be seeing a real widespread problem with Corn Belt production. The poor conditions in the southwest, if they do indeed develop, will be counterbalanced quite favorably by good conditions in Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, among other areas in the region. We are expecting to see some shower activity occur across the Midwest on an infrequent basis as we move forward through these next 2 weeks. Again, the southwestern areas will be disfavored. The first opportunity for rain coming across the region is probably going to be focused on a weak little disturbance that will come across the upper Midwest here briefly this weekend, but some resulting rainfall will be rather minimal. Another frontal boundary will come across the same region as we move into the late Sunday and Monday. Rain totals in both systems will probably run a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe 5 or 6 tenths of an inch. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 640 down 9. December 650 and 3 quarters down 9 and a quarter. Soft September wheat 541 and a half down 9 and a quarter. December 564 and a quarter down 9 and a quarter. September corn 377 and a quarter down 2 and a quarter. December 384 and 3 quarters down 2 and a half. Go out to July 15, it's 410 and 3 quarters down 2 and a half. August soybeans, 1177 and a half up 2 and 3 quarters, now up 2 and a quarter at 77 even. September, 1108 down 2 and a half. November, 1091 and a quarter down 2 and 3 quarters. August soybean meal, 378.20 down 230. August soybean oil, 36.47 up 10 cents. August live cattle, 151.02 and a half up 37 and a half. August feeders, 211.80 up 20. And August lean hogs, 128.35, and they are down 50. Joining us on the phone to talk about the market is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
It's been very much a week where the market has been up, the market has been down, the market has chattered. There's talk about the dead cat bounce, and could we get a little bit more than that? And then we come back today from yesterday, the market is down again. How do we read the market this week?
Well, I think I guess I look at Tuesday's lows there. I think that's kind of a line in the sand a little bit. It'd be like 378 on these corn, 1065 on no beans. I think that's kind of a line in the sand that, we may need to hold that to be able to get anything more than a dead cat bounce out of this. And if we go through it, we probably have some more downside risk. I think we had a challenge to the, to the shorts to see how strong they were. That was kind of on the Wednesday market. And then yesterday, of course, we had that rare, a lot of people calling it a black swan event, that had some excitement there for about 2 hours or so as the market reacted and blew some stops out and stuff. But I think that's, one of those rare situations that the market just got nervous and didn't know all the details, and once they knew it, then kind of settled back to where they were. So I have said in the past that I think when you're in a situation like we're currently in, the first thing you have to do is stabilize the prices before you can expect to get any kind of even dead cat bounce. And I think we're maybe seeing that we're stabilizing here a little bit.
If,
for the time being.
Now, if we were to reap the benefit of some sort of a debt cad bounce plus next week, what might it look like?
I think anything that you see in the corn market that you get any kind of 10 to 15 cents out of it, I think that's really going to get sold pretty heavy from the... We still have a lot of old corn out here, I think, to sell, and that's one thing that's kind of holding the corn market in check right now. Funds are pretty much even, so I don't see them playing a big role yet. They may try to get short going in the harvest. On the soybeans, I guess I think that the, you know, the $11 area is kind of an area that it's hard to... We need to get something over that, and I just see the possibility is maybe a little bit greater in the beans. You may see more of a 25 cent, you know, 25 to 30 cent bounce if you're looking at a dead cat bounce in the beans.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. September corn, 377 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. December, 384 and 3/4, down 2 1/2. August soybeans, 1179 and a quarter, up 4 1/2. November, 1092 1/4, down 1 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.